Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the Athletics' Zach Rosenblatt, who reports on the New York Jets. Hi, Zach. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. So, as you can probably guess, we are starting to evaluate Robert Saleh as the Titans' head coach now that he has been hired by the Titans. And from afar, you can look at the record in New York, 20-36. You can look at all of the drama with Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, etc. But as someone who actually covered the Jets when Robert Saleh was coaching the team, what is the proper way to evaluate his tenure there, and how do you expect him to handle a second chance?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the best answer, but I think the word that just comes to mind is complicated. It was a very complicated tenure because I think there was a lot that was working against him. If you look at like some of the things behind the scenes with ownership and, you know, some of the drama with Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. While I also think there's a lot of things he could have done a lot better that led to a lot of their issues too. So it was like a combo of a lot of things. And the biggest one at the end of the day was that they never had a quarterback or an offensive coordinator ultimately that was able to like have the offense match up to what their defense was doing. And so they never won more than 7 games at the end of the day.
In your story for The Athletic today, which I highly recommend to Titans fans, the headline in Robert Saleh, what are the Titans getting? Lessons from his Jets tenure. You point out that the biggest question for Saleh to answer in Tennessee is his plan for the offense. Your colleague at The Athletic, Diana Russini, reported earlier today that Brian Daboll is expected to wind up in Tennessee as the OC for Cam Ward in the Titans if he doesn't get the Bills job. Now, the only connection I know of between Saleh and Daboll is that they shared a home stadium for a couple of years. So how do you think that pairing would work if Daboll was the offensive coordinator for Robert Saleh?
Well, funny story about them, actually. I think when Daboll was hired, I believe Daboll was hired after Saleh, right? Yeah, he was. So they lived near each other, I believe, in that Saleh invited Daboll and his family over to like go swim in their pool or something. So I don't know if they kept in touch after that. Maybe they did, but I think they did bond over like being New York coaches. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, they need to hit this OC hire, and if Daboll is the guy, like, there is some merit to him being the one to where Robert can be like, okay, I'm going to focus on the defense because I think Robert will probably call plays for the Titans. Hand the keys to somebody like Daboll on offense, whereas when he was in New York, his first OC was Michael Floor, who I think showed some promise, but was a first-time OC, and he made some mistakes. And then, you know, Woody Johnson forced Robert to fire him after 2 years, and then he replaced him with Nate Hackett, probably to appease Aaron Rodgers, but Hackett is frankly one of the worst offensive coordinators I've ever covered, so it was kind of a disaster in that front. So if you could bring Daboll in and you could create an environment for Cam Ward where it works, then I think this marriage could work. A Daboll, Cam Ward, Robert Saleh trio, like that, I could see that working. There's a lot to say where you could say Daboll, outside of Josh Allen, his offenses haven't been great, but you know, it's an interesting pairing, and out of the options that are out there now that like Mike McDaniel's off the board, like I think Daboll makes a lot of sense.
Now we had a caller call in right before you got on, and he was concerned about Saleh and him losing a locker room the way he did in New York. Now, it didn't seem like it started off that way. Did he lose it because of what was happening above him, or did he lose it because the guys just lost faith in him.
I wouldn't say he like fully lost the locker room. Like, I don't think it was a locker room where guys like didn't respect him anymore or guys were like turning on each other. I think one of the problems Robert ran into is I don't think he was hard enough on these guys. Like, I think there was, you know, maybe a lack of accountability that they needed. And part of that had to do with, you know, they went all in on Aaron Rodgers. And I don't blame them for doing it at the time. They needed a quarterback, and he was the best one available, and they couldn't have done any better than him. But you brought him in, you catered to him, you let him bring in his friends. I think Robert had a hard time criticizing Aaron, and so they really put him on a pedestal. So you had one player on a pedestal while you're also trying to coach up all these other guys and have them listen to you. And I think that became an issue at the end of the day. And it's not to say that Aaron was a bad teammate or guys didn't like him, because I do think they did. But I think that ultimately hurt his ability to kind of lead the entire team when you're kind of making it clear that Aaron is above you. He's not one of the guys. And I think that was a mistake ultimately. And I think as you look at Tennessee, you know, I think the best Robert Saleh ever was in early 2022. They start 6-3, and they do it on the backs of a great defense led by young guys like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams and DJ Reed. And on offense, they have Garrett Wilson kind of doing his thing and Breece Hall and some O-linemen showing some promise. And so it was a young group that was really like, you know, they had the energy and they were playing for each other. And I think as the Jets tried to go all in to make the Super Bowl, it backfired when you had a lot of veterans and Pro Bowlers and personalities that didn't feel like they needed to be as much a part of the team.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. He didn't call defensive plays there with the Jets, did he, Saleh?
No, he did not. Jeff Ulbrich did.
Okay. Now, I asked that because you look at the situation he was in, and I know it was a complicated situation, but this is a guy that was just the CEO, and now he comes here, and potentially it seems like in some articles that I read that he feels more alive when he's calling plays, and that's great.
Yeah.
So how do he go from, you know, not calling plays and not being able to get that team where they need to go to now being the head coach and potentially calling plays? How do you see that going?
So I think the biggest thing for me, and you said it makes him feel alive, like I think that is important for him because mm-hmm. I think one for him, you remember his days in San Francisco before this last year, but he was known for like just being this high energy, run around long, up and down the sidelines, screaming. He gets to the Jets, he's the head coach, he's the CEO. He really like throttles back on that, I think, too much. And I think he kind of lost himself a little bit to where by the end you had fans who would get so mad because they'd be losing, they'd be making mistakes, they'd be getting penalized. And he's just stone-faced on the sideline, like not kind of reacting to anything. And that was, I mean, I think there's a lot of coaches that are like that, but it didn't feel like his personality. Like it felt like he was kind of, you know, missing part of himself. And then you saw him go back and do that in San Francisco this year. And I think that's when he had the realization, like, you know, when I'm a little more involved in the play-by-play and running the defense, like I think his energy and his emotion comes back. And that's why I think also the OC is so crucial. Like if Robert's not going to be the CEO, he needs an OC that he can just be like, okay, you just take care of the offense and I'm going to really, you know, hone in on the defense and make it great.
We're talking to Zach Rosenblatt. He covers the Jets for The Athletic. He's got a really good piece on the new Titans head coach, Robert Saleh. Zach, I was intrigued about how you handle the media and some of the chapters, because I think we could all say in New York, you're under a microscope unlike any other place. And of course, Nashville is quite a bit different, but it's still because you dominate so much of the headlines in a smaller market like Nashville, it's still going to be important how he interacts with the media. So share, for people that haven't read the article, some of the observations you had about him sort of letting the noise get to him at times.
Yeah, he did. I think he was really, really too focused on trying to control the narrative, control what people were saying about him, about his team. And I think he took it a little too personally when, you know, whether it's writers or radio or, you know, the New York Post back page or whatever it is. Like, I think he at times took that a little too personal and let it get to him and let him affect, you know, the way he went about, you know, doing things and saying things. And I think as a coach, my best recommendation would always be just to not read anything and don't go on social media, because I just don't see any benefit for a coach in particular. So, you know, I think he knows that. I hope that he learned the right lessons in terms of you're not going to be able to control the narrative. You're not going to be able to control what people are saying about you. So at the end of the day, just like do your thing. And he was like, you know, in terms of defensive football, he's one of the best there is in this league. Like the Jets defense, by a lot of metrics, was what top five defense in two of the years that he was the coach from start to finish. So, you know, there's something to be said about him just focusing on that and not the outside noise because he did not handle it well. He was also really focused on, you know, stuff would get leaked out, and it became like a mission for him to find where the leaks were, and it became to a point where people on his staff would be like, why are we focused so much on this? Like, this happens in every building. So I hope you learn the right lessons, because if you remove, like, the distraction stuff, I think you can be a pretty good coach.
That is something to watch for. I'm curious to see if in the second go-round, how do you adjust? Let me ask you this, Zach. Did it surprise you that they fired him when they did? With Aaron Rodgers playing, they were 2-3. It's not like they were out of it. Was that a quick trigger there, or do you think it was time?
Well, not only did I think it was surprising, I was on vacation when it happened, so I definitely didn't see it coming. Hmm. So, I was in the middle of Paris with my wife because the Jets were in London, and my wife and I went to Paris for a couple days. And I find out that he was getting fired as we're, like, walking to the Eiffel Tower. So my wife has a photo of me on my phone. But it was definitely shocking. I think the timing of it, it didn't make a lot of sense then. It still doesn't in retrospect because, you know, there was conversation going into the previous offseason, like, you know, they probably should move on from Mike Vrabel's available, for example. Like, there's all these coaches that were available that offseason. They announced he was coming back in part because Rodgers wanted him. And then 5 games into the season, they're 2-3. They're still in it. Woody Johnson decides to rip off the Band-Aid early and, you know, go to Jeff Ulbrich, and the defense fell apart, the team fell apart, and it was a complete disaster from there. And it's not to say they would have made the playoffs with Robert. I think there were signs that, you know, things were starting to come undone with him. But after 5 weeks, like, it was pretty shocking. I think Robert in particular, like, I think he was blown away by that. Like, I think it really threw him off guard. I think he had a hard time getting over that for a little bit. I think he did a lot of reflection. I know he went to work for the Packers for a bit. He went to the 49ers. And I think in that time, he probably formulated what it would look like the next time he got a shot, and now he's getting it. You know, maybe even earlier than I thought he would, but I'm very curious to see how he handles things now.
Here's the thing that gets thrown around Nashville a lot, Zach, and you'll probably get a snicker out of this. Of course, I grew up in New York, so I understand both markets a little bit, but people say, and I grew up watching the Jets a lot, but people say, hey, look, he was 20-36 or whatever it was, but, quote, it's the Jets, right? So how fair is that when you evaluate Saleh? And how much do you say, well, yeah, the Jets are the Jets with their history, but he could have done better?
Yeah, I mean, that what you just said there is kind of what my message meant. I think there's been, you know, a tendency, in especially the national media, as the season's gone along, like, everybody just acting like he didn't have a 20-36 record. Like, at the end of the day, he was the coach of that team, and there are a lot of things he did wrong. And yeah, he didn't have a quarterback, and the offense was a mess, and he had to deal with Woody Johnson, but he still did some things wrong. Like, and so he needs to prove that he is not a coach with that winning percentage. Like, the only way he can do that is by winning games in Tennessee. And, you know, they're giving him a long contract and worth a lot of money to say that he's the right guy, and we're going to find out. Like, he's getting, in theory, the quarterback, and if he gets Daboll, he has the offensive coordinator, and, you know, you won't be able to make that excuse anymore if it doesn't work with those guys.
Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He reports on the New York Jets. He has a story on The Athletic today with the headline, in Robert Saleh, what are the Titans getting lessons from his Jets tenure, which I highly recommend for Titans fans as they are getting to know their next head coach. Zach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate your insight.
Yeah, great talking to you guys.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Zach had to say. You can as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.